Hey everyone, my name is Pastor Phil. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. And we are so glad that you're here and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us. We hope that you're blessed by today's message.
Hi, good morning. My name is Isaiah, and I am the next gen and connections director here at the River Goodrich, and I'm so thankful to see your faces this morning. I missed you last week, a chance to get away with the family, and you truthfully have become our church family. We love seeing you, love seeing your smiling faces, shaking your hand, giving you hugs, and it's just, the River Goodrich is a very caring place to be, and we love you, and we're thankful for you. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 150. Psalm chapter 150 is the last psalm. It's also our last psalm of the summer. I don't know about you, but I have really, really enjoyed our walk through the Psalms this summer. I've loved it in learning about the Lamentations and learning about the songs that people sing to the Lord, and it's just been a great time together. There's going to be a word that you hear this morning that you have heard before. It's a word that if you've been in church one time or 100 times or 1,000 times, you've heard this word, and it's this word, praise. We've all heard it, right? We sing it in songs. You just sang it a couple minutes ago. We sing this word, praise. We say this word, praise. And the writer of Psalm 150 says the word praise 13 times in 6 verses. It's kind of a theme. He's telling us, hey, this word praise is important. Also, the word praise is used over 200 times in the rest of the Bible. And there are 7 Hebrew words for our English word praise. You say, Isaiah, I don't know any Hebrew, and why are you telling me about Hebrew? The reason why is that the Old Testament, the majority of it was written in this language, Hebrew. And so when we translate into English, we took 7 words and we shrunk them down into 1 word, and the 1 word is praise. And so the 7 Hebrew words are this. The first one is yada, to worship or give thanks with extended or lifted hands. This is why we lift our hands in praise, in submission to God, because the Bible tells us to. Barak, to bless God by kneeling or bowing in reverence. This is getting on your knees and praising God for who he is. The word zamar, to make music, sing, or play musical instruments. We do this every Sunday. Tehillah, to sing a spontaneous or corporate song of adoration. Tauda, a sacrifice of thanksgiving, often for things not yet seen. This is thanking God even though he didn't answer your prayer. That's probably the hardest way to worship. Shabak, to address in a loud tone, shouting or triumphantly proclaiming. This is my favorite one because I enjoy shouting. And that's what this is talking about. But the Hebrew word that the writer of Psalm 150 uses 13 times is this word, halal. And the word halal means this: to celebrate God's greatness, to boast in God, to sing joyful songs of worship, to exalt and honor God publicly, to express admiration with enthusiasm and joy. And the writer of Psalm 150, he gives us a title. If you look right up at the top, it says this: let everything praise the Lord. So replace that word praise with the word halal. Let everything halal the Lord. Let everything celebrate God's greatness. Let everything boast in God rather than oneself. Let everything sing joyful songs of worship. Let everything exalt and honor God publicly. Let everything express admiration with enthusiasm and joy. Let everything praise the Lord. And the writer of Psalm 150, he's going to answer four questions for us this morning about this word, praise. And the first word he answers, or the first question he asks, it says this: where do we praise? Verse 1 says this: praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. This word sanctuary here can be translated to the word temple. See, the writer of this psalm would have lived in a temple culture, meaning he would have had to go someplace to make sacrifices, to pray and worship the Lord in a singular position. And we believe that the writer of this would have been talking about Jerusalem, where they would go to the temple. And inside of the temple would be this place called the Holy of Holies, where God would live in the temple. And one person, one time a year, was allowed in the Holy of Holies to make a sacrifice to God. And they would tie a rope around his waist and send him in there to make a sacrifice, because if he died in there, they wouldn't be able to get him back out unless they pulled him out. It was a very serious place where God dwelled in the temple. And what surrounded the Holy of Holies was this giant curtain. Exodus talks about this giant curtain, and it says that it was a foot thick. Not a foot tall, not a foot wide, a foot thick. I don't know about you, but that sounds like the heaviest curtain ever made. And it was massive. And in the book of Matthew, in chapter 27, verse 51, they talk about this curtain that was a foot thick. It says this: and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. You're asking, what happened to the curtain? What happened to this foot thick curtain? You see, this is what's happening in Matthew. Jesus has just died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says that everything goes black and the earth begins to shake. And it says that as the earth is shaking, the curtain splits from top to bottom. I don't know about you. I'm not super smart, and I don't know much about earthquakes, but wouldn't you think that the curtain would rip from the bottom to the top if the ground is shaking? Like, it's down here, so wouldn't it rip up? No, it's like God reached down and took this foot-thick curtain, and he goes, and he rips it in half. And the reason for that is when Jesus died on the cross, he is saying that we no longer have to go to a place to worship. We can worship anywhere. Here, let me unpack it a little more for you. Ready? So the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes to this earth. He lives 33 perfect years, willingly sacrifices himself on the cross for our sins. And the Bible tells us that our sin makes us enemies of God. Our sin separates us from God. And the wages of our sin is what? Death. And for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Meaning all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin, the cost of our sin, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's that mean? That means Jesus came, died on the cross for your sins and my sins, stayed in the grave 3 days and rose again. And Romans tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that Jesus died and rose again, you will be saved. And then it tells us this, that the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, God himself comes to live inside of you. And you become the temple of God. I didn't say it, the Bible tells us it. Here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? What's that say to me? That means I don't have to go to a place to worship. I can worship God anywhere and everywhere. Meaning I can worship God in the car. I can worship God at home. I can worship God at school. I can worship God at the gym as I'm singing and crying on the treadmill. Maybe that's just me. Because that curtain was ripped in half from top to bottom, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in one place. It dwells in those who have confessed, believed, and received. You are the temple of God, and you can worship God anywhere. But there's a second part to that verse. It says, praise him in his mighty heavens. Let me tell you this. The heavens are already an endless praise of God. Revelation 4, verse 8 says this. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And one day you and I will join in this endless praise. We are called to worship God anywhere and everywhere. So that's the first question. Where do we praise? Here's the second question. What specifically about God do we praise? Verse 2. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So there's two things we're called to praise God about. Number one, his mighty deeds. So we're called to praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. Think about this in the context of the writer of Psalm 150. He's in this Old Testament context. So he's talking about all the mighty deeds that God did in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. He's talking about all those things. Look what God has done. Look where God has brought us out of, and look where he's taken us. That's what the writer is talking about. But I like to think about it this way. He's also talking about creation here. He's talking about all the incredible things that God created, what he has done. I was sitting outside yesterday, and I was reading my Bible, and I was looking out across this pond. And it was beautiful yesterday. It was like the perfect Michigan weather. I was out there sitting under a shade tree, and then there's this pond, and there's birds, and there's butterflies flying around. I don't know about you. I know men aren't supposed to say this, but I like butterflies. They're pretty great. And then there was these weeping willows on the other side of the pond. I don't know about you, but that's my favorite tree. They are awesome. There's something about them as they're weeping over the water and they're blowing in the wind. And there was the birds and the butterflies and there was the wind and there was the sunshine. And I was like, God created that. And that's only a small ecosystem. It was like 50 yards by 50 yards and that was it. He created the whole earth, every detail, from the mountains to the valleys, the rivers and the lakes and the oceans, every creature. He created them on purpose for a purpose. Praising God for what he has done. And maybe you're like, Isaiah, I have trouble praising God for creation. Well, let me tell you this. You have a reason to praise. And let me start here. Let's praise God for what he's done. Have you been saved by an amazing grace? Oh, you can answer back. Have you been saved by an amazing grace? Is God sanctifying you through the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you have the promise of glorification of heaven one day? Wow. Yes. Yes. So we can praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he's going to do. He's doing incredible things in all of our lives. We have a baptismal that's up here every week. It's nothing special. I think a cow has drank out of it one time. And we can praise God because people are getting baptized and lives are being changed and families are coming here worshiping God together. That's an incredible thing to praise. We are called to be a people who halal the Lord anywhere and everywhere. And we're called to be a people who praise God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do. But there's a second part. He says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him for who he is. Because he's sovereign and providential. He's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's unchanging in his character. He's eternal. He's holy. He's loving, he's merciful, he's graceful, he's just, he's faithful, he's our Savior, he's our Lord. We are called to be a people who praise the Lord. Revelations 4:11, worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to God be the glory forever. Praise the Lord. So the writer of Psalm 150, he answers, where do we praise? He answers the question, what specifically about God do we praise? And then the third question he answers is, what do we use to praise? Go to verse 3. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Here's the simple answer. What do we use to praise? Anything and everything. But I don't know about you, verse 3 through 5 really sounds like a band. I'm not saying you have to have a band, but he's saying that a band is an awesome thing. And read verse 5 with me. Praise him with sounding cymbals and praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Meaning, there's drums, baby. They're there. I know some of us are like, man, those drums are loud. But guess what? It doesn't just say cymbals. It says clashing cymbals, meaning as loud as you can get them. And God has blessed people with the ability to play these instruments, to lead us in worship, to sing and to lead us. And here's a little note. Now, I didn't say this at the last gathering, but I'm going to say it to you. If God has given you this ability, you're called to give it back to him and use it to lead us in worship. I'm going to leave that there and walk away for a second. But we're called, like Psalm 98:4 tells us, to make a joyful noise to the Lord with a band and with singing and lifting our voices and cymbals that are way too loud, and I feel like I have to put earplugs in sometimes. But there's a word I want to point at. It's in verse 4. Praise him with tambourine. I just like that noise. That's not the word. And dance. And dance. I know some of you heard me say that and you were hoping I was going to skip over that word. I didn't say, but we're called to dance. Why? Because God gave us this body to be used for him, for his glory. There's a story in the Bible about David. And everybody heard of David, David and Goliath, that guy. And he was the second king of Israel. And let me tell you, he was a manly man. As manly a man as they come. He killed Goliath. He had killed lions and bears as a kid. People sang songs about how many men that he killed in battle. He was a guy, he had 30 men underneath him that were called the mighty men. And they could kill people with both hands. His bodyguard went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. That's just this guy named David. And the Bible tells a story about David. It says this, in 2 Samuel 6:14, says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. I'm not sure what that means. With all his might? For me, like in my brain, that means with everything that he had, this manly man was saying, I'm dancing for the Lord. I'm going to give it everything I have. And then I was thinking about some of the songs we sing. And there's a lot of times we're singing, even myself, we look over words. And I do it too. But there's a song we sing that says this. Dance because I'm free, because I got no chains on me. He turns mourning into dancing. I'm dancing on the grave that I once lived in. Why do I dance? Because I've been brought from death to life. Why do I dance? Because I'm not dead anymore. I get eternal life with Jesus. And let me tell you, in heaven, we're going to be dancing forever, giving it everything that we have. And like David, we're called to praise and dance with everything that we have, not caring what anybody else around us is doing. We're dancing because of what Jesus has done for us. And we bring God glory through it. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, glorify the Lord. We are called to be a people who worship the Lord with anything and everything, with all our might. The writer of Psalm 150 answers that first question, where do we praise? Second question, what specifically about God do we praise? The third question, what do we use to praise? And a last question he's going to answer for us is, who is called to praise? Verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's an exclamation point, so I get to yell it. Praise the Lord! That's what it means. I wish it was in all caps, I'd be even louder. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. It's a little test, and I hope you pass. Who in here is breathing? If someone next to you didn't raise their hand, either give them a come on or check their pulse, okay? This is just help somebody out. Everything that has breath, every person with breath in their lungs is called to praise the Lord. That means you are. You're called to praise the Lord. Here, let me take it a step further. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or just listen to me. Genesis 2, verse 7 says this. This is right at the beginning of the Bible, during creation, says this. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. God gives us breath. And every person that's ever breathed is breathing the very breath of God. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Meaning, as you're singing, as you're breathing out what God gave you. And so when we're praising, you know what we're doing? We're giving our breath back to God. Hey, God, you gave us breath. I'm going to give it back to you. It's like playing catch with him. Hey, thank you, God, for this breath. I'm going to praise you with all that I have. I'm going to give it back to you. And then I'm going to dance and get out of breath. And I'm going to give that to you too. Here's the crazy thing about worship. This is crazy to me. Worship is 100% about glorifying God. It is. It's 100% about glorifying God. But guess what? There's benefits I get from it. I glorify God. I give him my breath. And you know what he does? He encourages me. And he stirs me up to love and good works. He gives me joy. And sometimes I come into worship and I just don't feel like singing that day. Anybody else been like that before? But you know what happens when we start singing together? You get encouraged and you build up, and then you're glorifying God. You're giving him your breath, and then he's blessing you back. It's an incredible thing. I don't deserve anything from him, but yet he still is like, hey, thank you for that sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, 15 tells us this. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that acknowledges his name. God, it's your breath. I'm going to give it back to you. Thank you, God, for this breath. I'm going to give it back to you, and I'm going to sing your praises. I'm going to dance because I'm free, because I've got no chains on me. All creation was made to glorify God. It was made by God to glorify God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, meaning we are created by God, created in Christ Jesus for good works to praise, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are called to praise the Lord. I've told you this, I've loved the Psalms. There's been some incredible reminders of who God is and who we are. And this is just another one of those where you go, man, God, you're good. And I hope today, and as we've walked through the Psalms, you have a better understanding of what praise and worship is and what you are called to do. The writer of Psalm 150 is very clear. Says this, where do we praise? Everywhere and anywhere. He asked, what specifically about God do we praise? We praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. And then we praise him for his attributes, for who he is. And thirdly, we praise God. What do we use to praise? Anything and everything with all of our might. With everything that we have. And I'm going to say this, even the Macarena. That was a light laugh. That was a real good joke, guys. That was real good. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, whatever we do, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. And who is called to praise? Everything with breath, everyone with breath, sacrificing it back to God. Hey, God, thank you for this breath. I'm giving it back to you. The title of Psalm 150 is this: let everything praise the Lord. Let everything halal the Lord. Let everything celebrate God's greatness. Let everything boast in God rather than oneself. Let everything sing joyful songs of worship. Let everything exalt and honor God publicly. Let everything express admiration with enthusiasm and joy. That's what we're called to do. In the book of James, the writer says this, that we are not called to just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Not just coming on Sundays and Wednesdays and reading where we just hear the word, but doing it. Taking it from here to here. And this morning, you're going to get an opportunity to not just be a hearer, but a doer of the word. We're going to sing a song. And I pray that you would take a heart of worship that says how great God is, how awesome God is, that he would fill you with joy, encouragement this morning, and that you would take that breath that he has given you and you would sacrifice it back to God. Let's pray together.